Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Bex, and welcome to the Week Junior Show. I'm sitting here with three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds. Today, I'm joined by two of the writers, Michael.
Hello.
And Kieran.
Hello.
And editorial assistant Kay.
Hello.
This week, we'll be talking about new technology that uses stinky fruits, the benefits of connecting with nature, and we'll learn the facts about the coronavirus outbreak. Plus, we'll be having a debate all about the theatre. But before all of that, what is everyone's favourite theatre show, Michael?
I quite like Wicked, which is the Wizard of Oz prequel. It's got good special effects, good songs, and yeah, that's probably my favourite show.
I saw it for the first time about 2-3 weeks ago, and it's really great.
And it's so clever how it ties in as well to the original Wizard of Oz story. It really changes your perspective of it.
Yeah, it definitely does. You're right. Kieran, how about you?
Yes, my favourite is The Lion King, just because of the first 5 minutes. Obviously, The Circle of Life, and anyone who's gone will know just how incredible that is.
And then you walk out after the 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. You've got your money's worth, so just go home.
You're done straight away. Kay, how about you?
Mine's Mary Poppins. When I was younger, me and my friends put on a Mary Poppins show for our friend's mum. Me and my brother were Jane and Michael Banks.
I've never seen Mary Poppins. It's on at the moment and I really want to go to see it. Looks really good. I think my favourite, this took a long time, but I think is Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat, because I can sing all of the words to every song. And one day in this podcast, I probably will do. Next up, what is your favourite fact you've learnt this week, Michael?
I learned that a replica Batmobile was pulled over by police in Moscow in Russia because it wasn't suitable to be driven on the road. So essentially learned that the Batmobile in real life, you can't drive that around.
Batman would be not roadworthy.
No.
You'd be on a bus somewhere instead.
I'd take public transport.
Kieran, what have you learned?
Well, I didn't learn this week because I interviewed him a few weeks ago, but this week we had an interview with Tom Holland, who's in the new Pixar film Onward, which is set around his character's 16th birthday. And I learnt that Tom Holland's mum in real life used to be a water ski instructor. And so for his 16th birthday, she did a water skiing lesson for him and his friends, which I thought sounded pretty fun.
That's a really great birthday party.
Yeah,
and
also, to shame.
Yeah, of course, Tom Holland is really good at everything. Kay, what have you learnt this week?
I learned that the new cover of the Guinness World Records edition took the illustrator Rod Hunt 300 hours to complete.
Is that because it's just so intricate? And
yeah, it's really intricate. And they've got a competition coming up where you can apply to be jumping onto the world's largest whoopee cushion. Yeah.
Let's all apply immediately. I'm desperate for that. If you've learned something amazing this week or you want to tell us about your favourite West End show, well, email us. Go to hello@theweekjunior.co.uk or drop us a line on PopJam @theweekjunior. Now it's time for our real or rubbish story. I think it's Kieran this week telling me this one.
This is a good one. So, McDonald's, the fast food chain, has released a collection of candles which, when you burn them together, create the smell of a quarter pounder burger. So there are 6 candles and each has a separate scent. So there is, as you know, what creates a quarter pounder burger. You need cheese, you need your beef, you need ketchup, onions, pickles, and of course the sesame bun. So when you create them all together, it creates that aroma of a burger. They were made by a group called the Quarter Pounder Fan Club, which also makes a whole range of other burger-themed items. But the candles have been the most popular and have sold out already. So is this story real or just a load of junk?
It sounds ridiculous. It sounds nonsense. Because I mean, does that mean if you get one candle, you've just got like a candle smelling of a sesame seed bun in the corner of a room?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or
it's not
beef.
A
beef flavored candle. Who's buying that? That's nonsense. But also, part of me is like, I probably would, because I do love McDonald's. But that sounds mad. But then, is it? Well, oh, what have you done to me? No. So, I know people like follow McDonald's obsessively, and they'll go to when they have like new burgers out and stuff. They will go and buy the new. Oh man, that's annoying because although I hate the idea of it, I know I'd also buy it. I'll have to think about that because I want it to be true, but also it seems ridiculous. If you've not read your copy of the magazine yet, feel free to make your guess, and we can find out together at the end of the show. All right, so Michael, something pretty exciting is happening in the world of Week Junior podcasts very soon. Can you tell us all about it?
I can. So we recently spoke to David Graham, who is the voice of Grandpa Pig in Peppa Pig, Parker on Thunderbirds Are Go, and was also the original voice of the Daleks on Doctor Who. So if you want to hear that famous voice, then there will be a special episode of the Week Junior show coming soon featuring him. But we thought we'd give you all just a little sneak preview. So we've got this clip here for you now.
What makes the Daleks so menacing?
Well, I think I remember going to Lime Grove Studios, which was a sort of special effects department, with my late lamented voice genius, really, who Flowerpot Men, he did Peter Hawkins. He's a wonderful. And we kicked it around. And I think it was the intensity and the pausing, you know. An intensity, I will kill you, you know, and that sort of. It managed to catch on. Exterminate them!
Goodness, that's scary. That was genuinely got quite scared for a minute there.
Frightened myself to death.
Brilliant. So make sure you look out for that podcast very soon and you can hear more from David Graham. So what are our three favourite stories from the week, Kieran?
Well, our cover story this week is all about COVID-19, which is the new coronavirus type that has been in the news lately. So a coronavirus is a type of virus that causes infections in the nose, throat and lungs. So some coronaviruses can cause things like the cold and flu. COVID-19 is this new type, and people who have it can experience high temperatures, coughing and breathing problems, but most people have very mild symptoms of it. There have been 90,000 cases roughly around the world so far since it started at the end of last year, more than three quarters of which are in the Hubei region of China, which is where it all began. And around 3,000 people have died as a result of the coronavirus, although most of those were already in poor health. And there have been reports released that suggest that children and young people are much less likely to catch the virus. And if they do, they have milder symptoms than other people. So in the UK, there have been 85 cases so far, and some people have already fully recovered from it. And the government has said it's prepared for the virus to spread further, and it's got plans in place for if that happens. So, for example, some schools might close down. Some adults might be asked to start working from home so that they're not spreading the virus. And then there are other plans as well, so things like cancelling big events where lots of people come together, or letting teachers have bigger classes if there are some other teachers who are off sick. And then if we need some more health staff, then people who've retired, so aren't working anymore, might come back to help out as well. So it's quite interesting to see what has been going on around the world with it. So the French government has banned indoor gatherings of more than 5,000 people. In China, which is where the outbreak is the worst, some factories have closed down because people are being asked to stay at home. And as a result of that, the air pollution has improved, because the factories are closed, so they're not releasing so many gases into the atmosphere, so the quality of air is better. And then in parts of Iran, Italy, and South Korea, regions have been shut down, so people can't travel in or out without special permission. And again, that's just so that as much work can be done as possible to stop it from spreading further. And good news, scientists are already hard at work on a vaccine which would help protect people from the virus. So hopefully we'll see more work about that. But I want to talk about it this week because we've got lots of tips and advice in this week's issue. We've got a feature on how to wash your hands properly to get rid of dangerous germs. That is the number one thing the government says will help to stop the virus from spreading. So you should wash your hands with warm water and soap for 20 seconds frequently, which is roughly the amount of time it takes to sing Happy Birthday twice. So sing Happy Birthday to whoever you like. And then there's also information on what to do if someone thinks they're infected with the coronavirus or has been in close contact with someone who's been infected or has traveled to one of the areas where it's particularly bad. So there's lots of information in the magazine. Hopefully it will help reassure people that, you know, the government is ready to take this on. And there are lots of things that we can all do to help keep ourselves nice and healthy as well.
Yeah, I think if it's something you're a little bit worried about, definitely read the magazine and you can see lots of tips on how to feel better and stay safe. And just, some reassurance that things are happening to make sure everything's going to be okay, I guess.
Or yeah, absolutely.
To prevent things happening.
And this is something, so the government has announced its new plans, but this is something that they're always prepared for. It's the same with the NHS, which is the National Health Service. They're always ready for something like this to happen, and they are complete experts in how to help keep people safe. So we are in very good hands.
Excellent. And also I can prepare my singing voice for Happy Birthday over and over again. Right, so Kay, what have you been finding out about this week?
So a report from the National Trust has found that the more time you spend with nature, the more likely you are to take action for the environment. To encourage people to connect with the natural world, they've come up with 9 weeks worth of ways for people to connect with nature. These include how to observe butterflies and bees, grow plants on your windowsill, and build a home for animals. And they've also found out that doing these sort of activities can benefit your own well-being.
I can totally see that being a thing, because I think the more you kind of connect with the outdoors, the more you feel like you have an ownership of it, like something you have to do to look after it.
Yeah, I think so. I love being like out in the garden or in a park.
Yeah, have you done anything in your own like back garden or?
I'm growing tulips at the moment that I got in Amsterdam, and they're just about to bloom.
Tulips from Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's a song in there somewhere. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I am sadly terrible at growing flowers. I've attempted to grow a sunflower every year and it's always gone really badly. But I'm from the countryside, so I can see why, like, the idea of like just looking out your front door and looking at the natural world around you is pretty cool. So Michael, what have you got this week?
So some of you might have heard of durians, which is a fruit that looks a little bit like a spiky pineapple and is renowned for its smell. It is known as the world's stinkiest fruit. The smell has been compared to sewage, rotting eggs, old smelly gym socks. And while it's a delicacy in some Asian countries, it's also been banned in public places because of just how strong the smell is. However, some scientists have started using durians as well as jackfruits, which is another fruit renowned for its smell, to essentially make batteries that could help charge electric cars. So essentially using the world's stinkiest fruits as a source of power. So what they did was Vincent Gomez, who works at the University of Sydney, and his colleagues took the cores of durians and jackfruits, which are inedible, and then heated and freeze dried them in order to turn them into a material called aerogels, which are essentially, they're the lightest solid substance known to man. And they're essentially gels which have had the liquid taken out of them and air put in. And they can transport electric currents. And so they get put inside these batteries called supercapacitors, which are an alternative to batteries and used in electric cars. And the reason why they got the idea for this was because the durians and the jackfruits naturally contain some of the chemicals that are used to make supercapacitors. But because these can be normally quite expensive and difficult to put together, and the materials you need can be quite hard to come by, they've started testing using kind of natural food waste instead, as a more sustainable, affordable alternative to help make these batteries that could then charge electric cars. So it's kind of good for the environment as well. And using the stinky remains of fruit to make electric car batteries.
This just sounds like a real rubbish story.
It does a little bit, yeah.
The whole time I was like, fake. I'm amazed though, like, how do they decide, you know what, we'll try the durian fruit, that's the one we'll try. Like, where did that come from? Do they know?
So I think it was some of the chemicals in the durian are similar to the chemicals that are then used inside the supercapacitors and to make aerogels. And because the cores and leftovers of durians and jackfruits are easier to come by than the other materials that they would use to make supercapacitors, they're thinking this could be a way to make these cheaper, quicker, and in a more environmentally friendly way, because these cores are inedible. But also it means that, you know, perhaps the durian will become known for something other than its horrible smell.
Yeah, it's going to get some kind of good PR campaign behind it, finally. Time for our big debate. This is where you get to get involved. Last week, we debated on the podcast whether great apes should have the same rights as humans. Here's what some of you had to say.
Tilly emailed to say, "I think apes should have the same rights as humans. They're the closest animals to humans and it's unfair." Someone on Apple Podcasts wrote, "I think apes should get rights and be protected because all apes are endangered and are our closest living relatives."
Annie on Apple Podcasts said, "I think apes should have rights just like humans, especially since some of them are endangered. They are really important in our world too, so I think they should have rights." But someone else said, "I think apes should no way get rights, because first of all, it sounds silly, and second of all, why?"
Someone else agreed and said, "I think apes should have human rights because all animals should be treated fairly, especially apes as they're our relatives. Orangutans change their bed leaves every day, so are in some ways better than us." Someone else said, "This is hard. If we give them our rights, do we have to give them our lifestyles? We can hardly let them wear clothes and own houses or work jobs. Are we really that similar?"
Oh my goodness, so many amazing opinions there. That is fascinating. So yeah, this is your chance to get involved. Plus, if you want to hear your voice on the podcast, it is very easy. Go grab a grown-up, record what you think of this week's debate and send it in to us. Email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and we could play it out on next week's show. So this week, we're asking whether all theatres should be more relaxed. Who can tell me a bit more?
The Week Junior interviewed Jess Tom a few weeks back. She's got Tourette's syndrome, which means she makes verbal noises and movements out of her control, and recently helped Battersea Arts Centre in London to become the world's first relaxed theatre venue. This is an art space that welcomes people who find it hard to follow usual rules, such as staying quiet or staying in your seat throughout the performance. It means audience members are free to talk and move during the show. In Tom's interview, she told us about one theatre performance she went to where she was made to leave the rest of the audience and sit in a sound booth because she was making too much noise. There are a few other theatres that sometimes relax their rules for specific performances, but we want to know whether they should do this all the time.
This is a really interesting one. I have been to a few relaxed performances, actually, and they are fascinating. So I'm going to challenge Kieran first to say why he thinks that theatres should all be more relaxed. Kieran, you've got 1 minute. When you're ready to go, take it away.
I think that going to the theatre is, a wonderful thing to do, but, B, it can sometimes feel quite formal. Everyone's dressed up quite smart, you're sort of sitting in rows of seats and are expected to stay there for the few hours that the performance takes and then finally end your silence at the end by clapping away. And those rules can sometimes feel a little bit strict, and for some people it can just make going to the theatre quite a stressful experience or also quite a boring experience because it's quite difficult for them to not feel restless. And I think the best thing about performance and theatre is that it's for everyone, whether you're young or old, wherever you live, whatever language you speak, there's a show that's waiting for you. And the fact that these rules are stopping people from enjoying that, I think, is really bad. Some people can't control what noises or movements they make. Others find the loud noises and bright lights of a stage quite scary. And I think this isn't about encouraging them to set off fireworks or anything like that. It's just about welcoming them and opening up the doors.
Lovely stuff. That was just a minute. Excellent. So, Michael, I'm challenging you to say why you disagree with Kieran.
Yes. So I think relaxed performances are a great idea and should certainly be available at theatres for people who need them, because as has already been said, there are some people for whom the usual rules of the theatre are hard to follow. But I think if you made all theatre performances all relaxed, then there are some people who do enjoy those rules of the theatre that Kieran was talking about, and those rules help them to get immersed in the play, to pay attention, to enjoy what they're seeing. And there are some people who might find the opposite the case, that they find relaxing those rules a bit more stressful and it harms their experience. And I think also for people who can follow the rules, I think they should do, because those rules have been put in place for a reason, to help the actors to concentrate and to put on the show. And it can be a bit distracting for them sometimes if there's a lot of noise going on. So I think those who can follow the rules should do. But certainly relaxed performances are a good idea as an option, but not for everything.
Excellent. I can see you looking at the clock there, just checking. Kay, what do you reckon?
So I really want to go to a relaxed theatre performance just to see what it's like. I'm really for hard of hearing and parent and baby film screenings that have been introduced in most cinemas now. So I think this is probably the next step for theatre too.
Yeah, I've been to a few autism-friendly performances and they are amazing because, you know, it's a bit brighter in the auditorium. I actually went to see The Lion King do it, and Scar comes out on stage beforehand and explains who he is and a bit more about the cast. So it is an incredible thing to do, but also if you are a theatre goer, it's or also a director and actor, like it's not quite your... You need the rules sometimes, don't you? So it'd be interesting to see what our listeners think about this. Email into us, hello@theweekjunior.co.uk, and get involved, or go right now and respond to the poll at theweekjunior.co.uk/poll. So now it's time to recap our real or rubbish story, Kieran.
This was about McDonald's new candle range. 6 candles, each has a different scent. Cheese, beef, ketchup, onion, pickles and sesame bun. And when you burn them together, it creates the smell of a quarter pounder.
Who is buying a pickle-flavoured candle, first of all? Secondly, my problem with this, as all stories, is that it seems ridiculous, but I'm sure there is someone out there who's like, yeah, absolutely, I will get that. Also very savvy marketing because they've got 6 candles, so that's 6 things you'll buy. But I'm going to go rubbish. I'm going to go rubbish for this one.
Okay. Can I get a drum roll, please?
Yeah.
It's real.
No!
I'm so sorry. I would have brought you some, but they've already sold out. And
just bring me a Big Mac instead.
They were only on sale in the US to begin with. They've sold out, but it's unclear whether people around the world will be able to get McCandle, if they're so inclined.
A McCandle, I love it. I am desperate to get one now. So before we go, I hear there is a big competition you guys want to talk about.
Yes. So we're running the Young Food Writer of the Year 2020 contest. It is the only national competition for food writing that is aimed at children and young people up to the age of 18 and is held in partnership with the Guild of Food Writers. To be in with a chance of winning, you just need to write a short story around the theme of food and heroes. So the hero could be anyone you want, a friend or a relative, a sports person, an historical figure, or even someone fictional. Whoever it is, you need to write a short story about what role food plays in their life.
Prizes include a trip to the Guild of Food Writers Awards ceremony with a tea party beforehand, a £100 book token, a visit to the Week Junior office, and much more. There will be a winner and runner-up in 3 age categories, 10 and under, 11 to 14 and 15 to 18. To find information on how to enter, visit theweekjunior.co.uk/food and heroes.
That's an amazing set of prizes. I want to enter. Well, that is it for the Week Junior show this week. Goodbye to Michael.
Goodbye.
To Kieran.
Goodbye.
And Kay.
Bye.
Drop us a comment on PopJam at The Week Junior or email us hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you get your podcasts. Bye.
If you want to get your hands on a copy of The Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and use the code PODCAST.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.